The Old Testament lesson for the fourth Sunday after Pentecost comes from Jeremiah chapter 20, beginning with verse 7. This will also serve as our sermon text as we see the prophet Jeremiah frustrated and yet giving praise to God in the face of persecution. You persuaded me, Lord, and I agreed to it. You are stronger than I am, and you won out. I have become a laughingstock all day long, and everyone is mocking me. Whenever I speak, I cry out. I cry out, violence and destruction. But the word of the Lord has brought scorn on me. I am mocked all day long. If I say, I will not mention him or speak in his name anymore, then there is a burning fire in my heart, shut up in my bones, and I am weary of holding it in. I cannot. I hear many whispering terror on every side. All my close friends, those who are watching for my fall, say, denounce him. Let's denounce him. Perhaps he can be pressured into making a mistake. Then we will have the upper hand against him, and we will take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me like a terrifying warrior. So my persecutors will stumble, and they will not gain the upper hand. They will be put to shame completely because they have not been successful. Their eternal disgrace will never be forgotten. Lord of armies, you test the righteous. You see the heart and the mind. Let me see your vengeance on them. For I have laid out my case before you. Sing to the Lord. Praise the Lord. For he has delivered the life of the needy from the hand of the wicked. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen again to the last verse of our Old Testament lesson, Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 13. Jeremiah says, sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has delivered the life of the needy from the hand of the wicked. This is the word of our God, and so we pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, look at the passion, the fire that is burning in the heart of the prophet Jeremiah, the Lord's prophet, burning in his heart because of the name of the Lord. And I'm not just talking about that last verse that we just spoke. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord. Passion in exactly the opposite direction too, in those opening verses. At once, because of the name of the Lord, he's fired up against God, even accusing God of tricking him into becoming a prophet with a message that makes him look like a fool. But then by the end, he's burning with fire to sing praises to the name of that very same God, the Lord. That's the fire. The fire that burns through the name of the Lord in our hearts too. So God bless us today. As that fire burns in our hearts, as we wage war and wrestle against our own sinful flesh and against the world. Yes, Jeremiah was frustrated. He was burning hot. His anger was turned against the Lord in the opening verses of our text. You persuaded me, Lord, and I agreed to it. You are stronger than I am, and you won out. Jeremiah knew that he was the weaker one in this wrestling match with God. He felt naive, foolish, like he had been duped by God into being this prophet. He didn't desire that. He didn't ask for it. But God had persuaded him, even fooled him, the words suggest, into doing this work. He was tricked by God. And now look at the result of the message that he proclaims. The consequences of being a proclaimer of the name of the Lord. He says, I have become a laughingstock all day long, and everyone is mocking me. Yes, he knew the name of the Lord, and he faithfully proclaimed that name. Every word that God had given him to say, he said it. And what did it get him? Mockery. Ridicule. I've been made a fool, God. So Jeremiah wrestled against his own sinful flesh. That's what's speaking here in these opening words. It's his sinful nature venting its burning frustration against God with those words of verses 7 through 9. He even got to the point of saying, I'm not going to speak. I'm not even going to say that anymore. I won't be a prophet anymore. I cannot mention the name of the Lord anymore. It's just caused me too much trouble. Yeah, that was his flesh talking. That's our flesh too. When the fire gets hot, when we turn on God, we try to put it out by stifling that message of his word. What a temptation there is that we face to do that. To keep what we know, what we believe, what God has given us to speak his name, to keep silent about it. Because it only causes us more trouble when we speak it. Oh, but that name, it burns. Just 2 weeks ago, we again considered the Lord's Prayer. We began considering that in our catechism review, and we started with that very first petition, Hallowed be your name, Lord, the name of God. How holy it is, and how it burns in our hearts. Burns in our hearts when we try to bottle it up, and Jeremiah confessed that too. He said, when I tried to keep it in, when my sinful nature didn't want to speak your name, my heart burned and I couldn't keep it in. I had to speak it. It's like that burning bush that Moses encountered when he went to see God on Mount Sinai. And there that bush, it was on fire. It was in flames. But it wasn't consumed. So the fire of the name of the Lord burning in the hearts of his believers, who even though they're troubled by the trouble that they face in the world and their sinful flesh cries out, says, don't speak that name anymore, yet that heart burns. And that fire of the name of the Lord burns in their hearts, and yet they are not consumed because they know this name, this God of grace that has given them faith. He's the one that saves us. This is the one that we believe in. And he's given us that name to speak. And if we try to keep it in, we can't help but let it out. It's a fire in our hearts, in our bellies, and it must be proclaimed. Yes, the name of the Lord is everything that God reveals about himself to us in his word. That glorious word, which the writer to the Hebrews describes this way, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the point of dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, even being able to judge the ideas and thoughts of the heart. And boy, it judged the heart of Jeremiah as he recognized his sinful flesh, that struggle that he had. And then it cut out that sinful flesh, and he could not help but speak that name which had rescued him. Yes, Jeremiah felt that burning inside. He experienced that. And yet, even against all human inclination to cover that name up because of the frustration that he faced, he spoke. He couldn't help but speak of the name of the Lord. Yeah, Jeremiah had to wrestle against himself, against his own sinful flesh, quite mightily, and we do as well. But that name of God, the alone saving name of God, burns in our hearts, and we're steeled to do battle to wrestle against that flesh. But it wasn't just an internal struggle that Jeremiah had to face. He also wrestled against the world. God had called him to proclaim that name of the Lord that was burning in his heart through faith to the world. And that meant telling everything that God had given him to say. But everything God had given him to say not only got him into deeper trouble with the world. Jeremiah says, whenever I speak, I cry out violence and destruction. That's what God had given him to say. Violence and destruction. That was what was coming on Judah because of their wickedness and stubborn rebellion. And Jeremiah proclaimed that message during the reigns of the last six kings of Judah. Think of that. His ministry saw through six leaders in Judah during a time when they were wicked and yet they seemed to be doing well. He proclaimed this message, violence and destruction is coming. Consider how that message not only could get him in trouble with his political leaders, it wouldn't be popular with the people either. This was not a populist message. And yet he bore that message in the name of the Lord for over 20 years. And all during that 20 years of time during his prophecies, everything that he said didn't even happen. And it's not like he wished that it would. Even the message that he proclaimed was trouble for his country, for his nation. And not only was it treasonous, it wasn't taking place so that people could say of him, oh, there's that pessimist, there's that treasonous madman who always has a bad report to give, and it never happens. So Jeremiah complained to the Lord, violence and destruction is my message, but the word of the Lord has brought scorn on me, and I am mocked all day long. And it's one thing to be opposed by your enemies, by those who will oppose you no matter what you say, no matter how faithful to the Lord you are. You can expect that. But the text tells us that even the prophet's friends were turning on him. Those that called him friend, who spoke that greeting of a peace be with you, Jeremiah. Those that he thought he could trust, rely on. His close friends were watching, waiting, hoping for his fall. They were tired of his message. They didn't want him to preach anymore. So that when he stumbles and falls, then they could abandon him, turn on him, have reason to betray him, because they didn't want to be numbered with him. They didn't want to be associated with him, his closest friends. How Jeremiah had to wrestle against the world. I almost feel ashamed as I preach a message on this text because I really can't relate to Jeremiah in this way. To see the love and support that we have from a congregation who recognizes that grace of God and to receive that support, much it fills our hearts like it must have filled Luther's heart in his day. To see those German princes lay their heads down to offer their heads for the name of Christ. Right? And yet, I recognize that still, we may feel at times like we're all alone in our proclamation. We may feel at times like even our friends have abandoned us. That the message of the Lord that he has given us to speak is a losing message. It's not a winning message. To the point where even those who would befriend us, those who might agree with us, feel the futility of our speaking. And so they say, yes, Lord has spoken, but don't speak that word because we can't win. Yeah, it's the sinful nature that often drives even those who are believers into that despair, to turn on us. They're motivated not by the name of the Lord, driven not by the burning fire of his word. Too often misguided we are when it comes to standing upon that word of God. We find ourselves motivated by the wrong thing. But then it's good to remember that we need only one on our side. And when he fights for us in our need, in our despair, in our seeming hopelessness, we find incredible comfort that burns in our hearts because we find the seriousness of the warrior who is fighting for us. In a great turn of tone, like a suddenly roaring fire that again erupts in Jeremiah's heart, he speaks completely differently starting in verse 11. But the Lord is with me like a terrifying warrior. The same one that he just lashed out against in his sinful flesh. Now he recognizes, that's my Savior God, and he's a terrifying warrior. The fire in that phrase alone, a terrifying warrior. This is a fierce fight and a terrible war that rages on in the world, and we wrestle against it. As enemies seem too many to count, and even friends, when they turn on us, we waver. But the force that fights with us is even stronger. This is the one place in Scripture where the Lord is described with that word, terrifying warrior. It's not a word that brings comfort to friends. It's a word that's meant to strike terror in the heart of the enemy. You think you can be ruthless? You think you can be vicious in your attacks against the Lord, against His Word, even against those who stand upon that Word, God's spokesman? The Lord can be more ruthless even than you ever could. He causes complete shame. He brings about eternal disgrace that is never forgotten. That's the terrifying warrior. The Lord. The Lord of armies is His name. Will you stand against that name? Think of the fire that is kindled in Jeremiah's heart now as he recognizes, this is the one with whom I stand. Not only does it strike terror in the heart of the enemy, it does warm the heart of the believer. It gives him such courage, yes, even joy, to stand upon that word that that warrior has given him to speak, to proclaim His name, the Lord, the name that saves, the Lord of armies. And look how that fire bursts into flame in the heart of Jeremiah. And yes, his enemies might hear this word and have even more reason to mock and ridicule him as a madman as he sings his praises to the name of that one. But he cannot keep this word of praise in. A word of praise for his terrifying warrior who has come to save him in his greatest need. Jeremiah says, "Sing to the Lord. Praise the Lord, for He has delivered the life of the needy from the hand of the wicked." Do we wrestle the world? You bet we do. But we've had even greater enemies to face than that. So greater joy cannot be expressed than what Jeremiah expresses here. And it's rightly expressed, well placed, because our greatest need is not a battle against the world. God has come to deliver us. He's saved us from the terrors of our sins. He's rescued us from the eternal disgrace that is never forgotten, that eternal disgrace that should be ours, but instead was the disgrace of our Savior God. A complete shame which He bore upon Himself on the cross, carrying upon Himself the sins of that world. Complete shame that was mine. But He has delivered the life of the needy from the hand of the wicked. So all the world can mock and jeer. My warrior has delivered me. Friends, let that name burn in your heart. Let it fan into flame that fire of faith through this saving word. May it lead you to sing out to the Lord. May it lead you to raise your word of praise to Him. Yes, we will continue to wrestle. We'll wrestle with ourselves, feeling the gospel is hopeless. The word doesn't work, even if it comes true, which it appears it doesn't, our flesh says. We'll wrestle with that flesh, and we wrestle with the world, always trying to persuade us to turn against God. But God fights for us, and He gives us that victory. Let Him be your inspiration, that fire in your heart. Amen. And that peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Savior.